Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Final hour DDC on this Friday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great day and you're staying cool. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick. Speaking of cool, cool event at the fairgrounds tomorrow night. Huge names going to be in town. Our own Chase McCabe, affectionately known as The Suit or Maccababe, or he's got so many nicknames I've given him over the years. Don Hawk, CEO of SRX, is going to be at the fairgrounds. There are tickets still available, by the way. Chase had a really good interview with Don. Here's what it sounded like.
The big event that's happening this weekend at the fairgrounds, SRX is back, the Superstar Racing Experience, and we say hello to their CEO. Don Hawk is on the line with us. Don, we are very excited to see you all back at the fairgrounds.
Hey, Chase, thanks an awful lot. We're glad to be back in Nashville, and we're looking forward to a great event here. Actually, I landed this morning, and during all hours of the night, the entourage hit town, and we're unloading everything now.
You've been around racing a long time. You worked for Speedway Motorsports. You know all about historic racetracks, but how cool is it to walk into a place like the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway that has so much history?
It's fantastic. You know, my roots here go all the way back. I'll tilt my hand to a story you probably heard numerous times, but when I was running Earnhardt Incorporated, Dale Jr. was here, and as you remember, he was quite fast in a late model, and he didn't make it, kind of didn't come back to the start-finish line one time, so he jumped in Bobby Hamilton's car. We duct-taped up the four of the 43, and Dale Jr. was, I think he was leading at the time, and I feel like we broke a motor. I can't remember. You might know better than me.
Yep, you broke some. I heard him tell this story recently, and he said it was bad fast and that they had to be real hush-hush because it was a Ford, and he's obviously a Chevy guy, and you know, his dad was basically like, all right, just keep it on, just go out and run the race and then get out of there is essentially how he tells the story. But yeah, they broke a motor, and then Bobby ended up selling the car and making money on it.
Exactly. Yeah, we had to keep it quiet, but I did get a hold of GM, and they actually, you know, Dale's contract, Dale Jr., that wasn't 100% solid and signed yet. It was a done deal, but we really hadn't completed the deal yet. So they were like, just do it. Just, can you peel the oval off, the blue oval? And I'm like, copy. We got that. Yeah, we went ahead and ran it.
That's awesome. I wasn't at that race, but I mean, that story is legendary, and you know, there's a diecast now of it, and it's fantastic. So you obviously know a thing or two about the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway just from that. But joining SRX, this is year two of this thing that Tony Stewart and Ray Evernham put together. I was there last year. It's a lot of fun, and I feel like the intensity with these drivers has picked up even more this year. I mean, as much so as having Uncle Tony get kind of mad a couple weeks ago. But how exciting is it to see the fan base continue to grow for SRX?
It's been exciting. The business did pick up on the racetrack, which means the business picked up on the guys at the shop. So that's why Tony was like, look, guys, we're killing each other in the heat. Let's wait and try to do it in the main event. And so last week, everybody kind of tried to behave for the two heats, if you notice at Stafford. And then I believe, I can't give you the exact number, but I want to say it was 60 of the 75 laps at Stafford. Somebody was the side of somebody, or somebody was all over somebody's bumper for the lead. I mean, the top four cars, you could have thrown a blanket over.
Yeah, no doubt. And the thing that's so cool to watch this thing grow is the number of drivers that want to be a part of this. I mean, obviously you have Tony Stewart and Paul Tracy, Michael Waltrip, but Bobby Labonte is there, Bill Elliott, Helio Castroneves. You have Haley Deegan, who is just starting her career, that wants to be a part of things. how neat is it that you have these drivers, and I've talked to several NASCAR drivers that want to come race in SRX, and there's things they have to work through contractually to be able to do that, but the demand to want to be a part of this is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, when I got here, my first day on a job was January, whatever, 3rd or 4th, whatever that Monday was in the new year, and went ahead and fired away on 6 sanction agreements, getting them done with the racetracks, and then literally we have signed 23 drivers. There's, you know, one-offs to 6-offs. And, like, you know, Joseph Newgarden is driving one race. Ryan Blaney's driving one race. Chase Elliott's driving one race. Castroneves is driving 3. Haley's driving 2. Kenseth's driving 3. Exciting. Elliott's driving 2. And I don't know if you heard, but we just announced today with the help of CBS that Joey Logano is actually going to be in the booth as a driver analyst for the last race of the year in the championship battle at Sharon on July 23rd.
Very cool. Very cool. That's some star power to add to things.
Yeah. He decided he wanted to come see the Blaney family mix it up with the Elliott family, so he just decided to get the best seat in the house and go right to the TV booth.
Absolutely. We're talking to Don Hawk, the CEO of SRX. They're at the Nashville Fairgrounds coming up this weekend. You can go to NashvilleFairgroundsSpeedway.racing for more information. And you bring up that family battle. I was at the race last year when Chase and Bill Elliott got to race against each other. And seeing that 9 and 94 side by side on the track, hearing the fans, you know, just scream at the top of their lungs because of how cool that was. Chase ends up winning it. But those are things you never thought you would see. You never thought you would see Ryan and Dave Blaney race against each other, but that's what SRX allows them to do.
Yeah, and, you know, I tried last week, honestly, to get Brian Deegan in a car against Haley. I thought that would be really exciting, but Brian had a schedule conflict. We couldn't pull it off. So, you know, it is really exciting to see those things. And Bill and I talked it. He was just still happy that he had the opportunity to race against his son. But here's the other thing. Think about Bill Elliott was very competitive with Chase.
Oh, yeah.
These cars are so close together. Like, we unloaded last week at Stafford, and the 16 cars weren't 0.2 seconds apart. And literally, like, we unloaded good and we raced good. You know, it's kind of fun. So we're anxious to get on the track tomorrow, shake them down a little bit, and see what we got when we come to Nashville.
Talking to Don Hawk from SRX, Tony Stewart, you know, has obviously been one that he likes to give back and kind of pay it forward. And after his NASCAR driving career was done, I mean, you see him at short tracks and running his dirt car and all those things. One thing that I love about SRX is giving the short track racers the opportunity and some of these names that maybe people don't know on a mainstream level. How important has that been to offer that opportunity to these up-and-coming drivers?
Well, I mean, he spoke last week in part of the driver's meeting, and he just said, which you know his history. He's in every Hall of Fame there is. He's a 3-time NASCAR Cup champion. He can drive any race car they make. Straight line now. He even owns 2 of those teams. He can do anything he wants to do in a race car, and I sat there and watched him tell 12 other people, like, guys, gal, I'm telling you, this is, for me, this is what I wanted to do this summer, is spend a Saturday night with you guys and race some of the best in the business from open wheel to closed fenders. And it wasn't a fake. It was Tony. Like, and, you know, back to your thing about him paying it forward and stuff like that. I had some of my grandchildren at the South Boston race. They came up with for the day with, you know, some of my family. And I am not kidding you. Tony Stewart won the race. He is standing there on the podium. I get a picture with my grandsons in front of him. He just points to one of my grandchildren randomly. And he points at him and says, come here. And the grandson, like, turns around like, oh, shoot, right? And Tony Stewart takes his gold medal off of his neck and hung it around my grandson's neck and said, here, this is yours. My grandson said, can I please ask you a question after I tell you thank you, Mr. Stewart? And he said, yes. And it's Tony. And he said, okay, Mr. Stewart, my question is, would you please sign this? He said, I want everybody to know where I got it. And Tony came right off the podium and signed it. So it was a, you know, but I'm telling you, I've known Tony Stewart a really long time. I've been doing this rodeo for 33, whatever it is, years, right? Tony Stewart is real. Like, Tony Stewart, I've seen do things for people behind, I'm not going to tell you what they are, behind the scenes, people know nothing about, and he helps somebody in need. I've seen him with young drivers just walk over to the car, say, hey, I can see you're struggling. Why don't you try this? Tell me how, or he'll say, you know, what's happening to your race car? They'll tell him, and he goes, you know, maybe you ought to think about this. And, I mean, he just constantly does that.
Always the teacher is Tony Stewart. You know, speaking of your history in this sport, you worked for Speedway Motorsports for a long time, and unfortunately, right before race weekend here at the Nashville Super Speedway, we lost Bruton Smith at the age of 95. What was it like working for such a pioneer in motorsports?
Well, Bruton was a visionary, right? So working for him was an honor. Like, when I went there, I was there nearly 15 years. You know, he hired me personally. I went to Town and Country Ford, which most people that know him really well would know. His office was actually in Town and Country Ford, not at, which is a car dealership he owns in Charlotte, but it wasn't at the Speedway. Like, people thought he had this big palatial office at Charlotte Motor Speedway. He didn't. There was no deal in the Speedway. You know, that's where his son Marcus had an office and where I had my office. But at the end of the day, you know, Bruton Smith and I went from employee and employer. I don't even know if you know this, Chase, but we became like best friends. Like, I count it such an honor. I traveled with the man for a dozen years everywhere he went. Like, we sometimes stayed in the same hotel rooms or the same condo or the same suite. I mean, it's just like we traveled everywhere together, whether it was buying a racetrack or I was going to say selling one, but he never sold one. You know, buying a racetrack, buying a car dealership, you know, it didn't matter. So he was like a mentor to me. And so that loss was like, you knew it was coming, but you still can't prepare for it. A titan in the motorsports business. He helped catapult the growth of NASCAR to an all new exponential level. And, you know, Bill France Jr. and the France family and all them, they know that without Bruton Smith as a partner, this thing might not be as far down the road as it really was. And some would say, hey, that's a really big statement to make. Well, he owns 50% of the racetracks and he spends billions of dollars promoting them. He's a pretty good partner. And that's why Marcus and the France family get along so well today. And I believe that Bruton knew Marcus was ready to run the Speedway side and David was ready to run the automotive side and Scott's ready to run his own company. So it's all good.
Yeah, for sure. And Marcus is what he's been able to do, and obviously very involved here in Nashville with both tracks potentially. We'll see what the future holds there. But for people that are on the fence for SRX this weekend that maybe are living under a rock and don't know what it is yet, why should they buy a ticket to the Nashville Fairgrounds and come see some of the best drivers in the world duke it out?
Well, I don't know about you, but I'll be in the ticket selling business for 1 minute. Here's what you need to understand as a race fan, folks. You have the opportunity to come see a field of 13 cars that has more Indy 500 winners, more Daytona 500 winners, more NASCAR Cup champions, more IndyCar champions, CART, Silver Crown, USAC. Like, I don't know of anywhere you can get this Xfinity and truck. I don't know where you can get any more championships in one place or any more rings in their safe than what these guys have. You know, there's Brickyard 400 winners. There's Coca-Cola 600 winners. We've got it all in this field. And if I were you and I'm anywhere close to Nashville, I'm hunkering down, because here's the neat thing about our deal. It's a 2-hour show. It's, you don't have to give away your whole evening. Just give up 2 hours. You'll never regret it. It's 8 to 10 o'clock on a Saturday night here at the Nashville Fairgrounds. You know, there's a couple seats left. You can come get them. And they're having a random draw, by the way, Chase. And I'm taking 4 people from a random draw the track promoter's having of all the people that purchased tickets. And I'm going to take them on a VIP tour. They're going to literally go get their picture taken next to their favorite race car. And Lord willing, we're going to bump into some race car driver or 10.
That is so cool. So you definitely want to be a part of that. It's going to be a fun show. There's no doubt. I love the made-for-TV aspect that you all have with CBS. I think they do a fantastic job and have in motorsports for a long time. But, Don, this has been a lot of fun, and best of luck this weekend.
I appreciate it, Chase, and thank you, fans. Without the fans, we're toast. So I got to say thank you.
All right, that's Don Hawk, and I hope a lot of people can get out to the fairgrounds coming up this weekend. I know race fans are really excited that that's going on. Whole new area of a town, rebuilding right next to the soccer stadium. Cool stuff happening in our city every week here in Nashville. Now, let me tell you about Loan Pronto. Home values are up. You're sitting on a pile of money if you're a homeowner, and if you need some cash, don't let it sit there. Use it. Pay off some high-interest credit cards or other high-interest loans that might be bogging you down right now. Maybe you've got bills to pay and you need some cash. Loan Pronto can get you that cash fast. You can do a whole loan refinance or take advantage of their all-new equity line of credit program. Either option will let you unlock your equity and get a big check. Get cash now. Pay off the credit cards. Do that home improvement project you've been thinking about. Get a down payment for a new home if that's what you're looking for. You can get $50,000, $75,000, or even more with Loan Pronto. So call them right now. It makes unlocking your equity easy. Don't just let that home equity pile up. Use it to your advantage if you need it now. Get yourself credit card debt free. How does that sound to you? Loan Pronto, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com to get the details. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
Predators have just made a pick. Another centerman, Ben Strenden. Pick 210 in the seventh round. Back here on the DDC. Oh, wow.
This is a throwback right here.
Wow.
I don't know how Max found
Max.
This one. How do you dig this one up? A little Ray Parker Jr.?
So our entire system is based on four-digit numbers. And if I'm looking for a specific song at some point, and then I'll just use every other song I like that has the same number. And it'll take me to the Ville, to the Buzz, to the Old Party. We have a lot of stuff.
So you like the saxophone. Like that. This is a saxophone.
I like what you like, Willie.
How is that possible?
Because
like, how do you go early 80s on me there?
Because
that's
been such a big influence on me.
Oh, well, thanks, Max. Okay.
And Darren.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for him.
Yeah, hit or miss.
You're saying Max is cutting edge?
I think we all strive. Stuff. We all strive to be cutting edge. Darren.
Ever since I saw the gentleman who looked just like you win the dance-off at the Preds game on the scoreboard, I've just wanted to be both him and you because you're the same person.
They put up notable seventh-round picks, and, of course, Patrick Hornquist made the list.
Yep. They're flying through this draft.
They are flying through the draft. By the way, he was not only a seventh-round pick, he was the last pick in the draft.
Mr. Irrelevant.
But they were showing some of the guys that are currently playing. I think Palat was a seventh-round pick.
Yes, he was.
Pretty notable names. Pretty impact players. Current players that were drafted in the seventh round. So we'll find out if Ben Strenden, one of those days, can be a guy. Like, don't forget when Big Ben was drafted in the seventh round by the Preds. I don't know much about him. A lot of these guys are going on to play college hockey. And I believe he was going to, or was it Max, North Dakota State? Or North Dakota? Thank you. Well,
yeah,
good stuff.
They got distracted back there. Something's going on. Didn't see it. But
I'm showing our intern, Austin, the video of your lookalike with a wig.
Oh, my doppelganger.
Yeah. It is a big piece of his intern training.
Very important stuff. Very important.
Station history. Were you asking me something? Sorry. This is great radio.
It's not important.
Okay,
all right,
I'll hang up now.
So, Darren, let's recap as they move on and finish this draft up. If people are joining us late, the Predators, let's kind of recap where they are, starting with the Luke Cunningham trade.
Luke Kunin was shipped to San Jose, so he's going to find his way to the Sharks. He's going to be in Northern California. Predators, in return, get a third-round pick in next year's draft and a guy named John Leonard, who is basically a minor league hockey player for now. We'll see.
He's played 58 NHL games, John Leonard. 14 last year, 44 the year before, and he is a productive AHL player who played 3 years of college. So I would label John Leonard as a 4A guy. Is that fair to say? A guy you could shuttle up and down
right now.
Depth.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He'll help Milwaukee. Maybe he has a great training camp and can be a depth player. But you need some guys who can move up and down from Milwaukee to Nashville. So whether he amounts to anything, who knows? But the most important thing is you get a third rounder next year and you clear $2.5 million approximately in salary cap space. So the Predators now, with the Myers trade and the Kunin trade, have cleared about $5 million off of the cap. Now they took on Ryan McDonagh, who's 6.75, so it's offset a little bit there. But we're all trying to figure out how much money can they carve out to sign Forsberg and then still have enough left over to try to attack what they have said they want to do, and that's upgrade the second line. That's really what they did with the Kunin trade.
We are getting some votes on our text line saying they are pro Phil Kessel. So
Phil Kessel is interesting. You know, I looked. He just came off the super long contract he signed originally with the Penguins, mm-hmm. right, which I think was $8 million per year.
He'll be 35 this upcoming season.
Yep, he's about to turn 35. So he'll be 35 throughout the coming year. 2 years ago, in 56 games, he still had a 20-goal season for a bad team, for Arizona. Now, last year, the goal scoring, which was really surprising, dropped way off, down to 8. He played every game for a horrid Arizona team. Let's call it what it was. They were really bad.
He plays every game every year, by the way.
He plays every game every year. In fact, that would be, if you were to sign Phil Kessel, part of the story would be, this is a guy that's going to chase the all-time record.
Oh, Yandle got scratched this year, right?
Yeah,
so Kessel will pass him soon.
Kessel will be in a position to pass him.
Because they played him in the one game.
We're talking about former Pittsburgh players, so we have gone to our Pittsburgh desk.
We've gone to the Pittsburgh desk.
Yep.
So the question, though, is, are you committed to Phil Kessel being in your lineup every night and ideally on the second line? I think that's a bit of a reach myself.
I think it's a big stretch. He has not had second line production, and you'd have to go back to Pittsburgh days. I mean, I know that in Arizona it's not a great gauge because the one season, well, both of them were shortened season, but even 2019-20, which was the COVID one, it was cut short. He still played 70 games, and he had 38 points. And I get it, albeit.
That's not second line.
But that was an Arizona team that went to the playoffs. I mean, they beat the Predators.
Yes,
so
he played against the Predators, and that was what sort of precipitated this whole.
But you'd have to go back 4 seasons since he's had second line production.
Yes, I would buy that. I'm not. That's not the first choice on my list. Is he on the list? I would put him on the list of potential targets. We talked one earlier this week. Jesse Puljujarvi, high first-round pick who hasn't blossomed, might be in their price range. You would have to trade for him. But according to what everybody's saying, he's being shopped around and it wouldn't cost you too much. Are you intrigued about that, or you feel like that's on the list but not high on the list?
Who is that again?
Jesse Puljujarvi from the
Oilers. Who did we just talk to about him?
Jay Fresh,
that's right. And he's like, you know, he's an
analytics
guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And basically what he said about Puljujarvi, high first-round pick, he's always been at odds with the Oilers, right? And for one point, he went back home. He said, forget it, I don't want to play for you. He came back and was pretty good this past year. He only makes $1.17 million, but he's got this untapped potential. What Jay Fresh, the analytics guy, said out of Toronto, he does a lot of things well, but he's not a really good shooter. He's not a scorer. but he helps you in a lot of areas. But he basically said, look, if you're going to put him on the second line, I don't know if you can write down a guy going to the next level of being a solid. But again, you have a limited budget. You're trying to figure out, could you carve out $4 or $5 million and address that second line? What can you get for that?
In my opinion,
like you're going shopping. You like to use the TJ Maxx and the Walmart and stuff. So we're above Walmart,
but not second line. You can't be. Shop there for second. You can't go to the Dollar Tree for second line guys.
You're looking for the right guy who is undervalued.
I thought Jay Fresh was trying to put the lipstick on the pig when he was talking about him personally. All right, that's what I thought he was doing.
Let's look at some other price points here.
Let's do this on the other side.
Okay? I got some more price points for you.
Okay, let's pick that up on the other side. We'll continue the discussion next here on the DDC 1025, 1063, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. Join us and Newton Motor Group this summer. We're going to help kids in Middle Tennessee. We want to team up with Souls for Souls and give them shoes. Children that are experiencing homelessness here in our area. School is coming back. And our goal is to raise $20,000, which will help provide 1,000 pairs of shoes for kids. But we can't do it without your help. If you can help in any way, go to thegamenashville.com/shoes. All donations will go directly to Souls for Souls. It's going to give shoes to children here in Middle Tennessee experiencing homelessness. So we could use your help this summer. Anything will help. Go to thegamenashville.com/shoes. Shoes, Newton Motor Group, proud sponsor of Souls for Music City, Newton Motor Group, the best car deals in Nashville start at Newton. Okay, let's pick up where we left off.
All right, I am looking at between four, five, I don't know where that, maybe they can scrape together a little bit more money, I don't know. It's unknown exactly what the budget will be, depends on how much Forsberg costs exactly, but we're trying to figure out for a reasonable budget, what can you get to help your second line if you're the Nashville Predators? Now that you've moved Luke Cunningham, you've cleared about $2.5 million of what you would have had to spend to keep him. You've still got to sign Yakov Trenin. Still got to sign Forsberg. And there's various other things that will eat away a little bit at the salary cap space. So I'm not clear exactly on how much they're going to have. But my answer would be it's maybe not as much as you might think. It's not like they have, $8-9 million to go get a big, big fish. So you got to be clever on how you do it. So I'm throwing names at Darren, and I'm telling him to go shopping with it. How about two guys coming off of good years with Carolina? Don't know if they could potentially go back, but they're potential free agents. Nino Niederreiter, who made 5.2 last year. He's 29. Vincent Trocheck, who made 4.7. He's 28. Can you squeeze enough money together to go after one of those guys? What's the market for those guys?
Nino Niederreiter will be 30 this upcoming season.
I think you're going to have to really scrape together enough to go after him if you wanted him.
To me, Nino Niederreiter is a guy that fits more into the – this is the real Craig Smith mold. You had the fake Craig Smith mold yesterday trying to okay. put Luke Cunningham in there. Nino Niederreiter is more in the Craig Smith.
Yeah, he's proven. He's 5 years older than Cunningham, and he's been doing it every year. He's a second-line guy who's got an edge to him.
And he goes for 20 or more basically every year. That's pretty much what you're going to get out
of it. Has a history with Mikael Granlund. So that's another thing you say,
Spent, I think, 5 or 6 seasons with the Wild. So to your point, yes. But again, he's a guy that fits the Craig Smith mold. So what are you looking for? What is the price tag? What type of production are you looking for on the second line, and what's the price tag?
Well, if he made 5.2 last year, I would imagine his agent's not looking to take a pay cut. So are we thinking 5.2 is about right in this market? Will he have to accept making about what he's made?
What's Granlund make?
Granlund makes 5 per year.
Personally, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'd pay this guy more than Granlund.
That's an interesting question. Trocheck, you feel the same way? Trocheck made 4.7. Trocheck can play center, I believe.
Yes.
Remember, Granlund could move to the wing. He's been a great player at center. He's fit really well under John Hines at center, but it's not like he couldn't play wing.
Trocheck turns 29 in 3 days.
Okay.
So he'll play this season at 29 years of age. Last 3 years in Carolina. Again, I think he's had one 30-goal season in his career. I think he maybe fits the mold, but he pretty much plays center more, though, doesn't
he? Yeah, he does.
He's not really a wing guy.
Right.
I think he can do both, but I think he's predominantly been a centerman.
And there's nothing wrong with having extra centers because you can usually move the center to the wing. All right, so let's keep those in mind. Let me throw a couple more names at you.
Again, what was the price tag?
The price tag has been 4.7. 4.75, to be exact.
Okay.
You know, he's going to want a raise. He's going to want a raise. That doesn't mean he's going to get a raise. Greg Wyshynski brought up an interesting one with Edmonton. They're really tight against the cap. They would love to keep Evander Kane, but they want him to be a bargain like he was for them last year. And Evander Kane's going to say, look, man, I just played lights out for you. I'm not going to give you the discount again. I want something more. His situation, of course, is very complicated because he still has to have the hearing on what happened with the Sharks, who basically fired him for cause and basically saying, we don't owe you anything. But he's filed a grievance. The grievance hearing hasn't been done yet. So we don't even know if that's going to happen before free agency starts on the 13th. So we know the Predators are probably not going to go down that road anyway, so let's throw him off to the side.
Okay.
Andrei Burakovsky and Val Nichushkin of Colorado. What do you think?
Well,
Burakovsky, 27, made 4.9 last year. 22 goals, 39 assists. Val Nichushkin went off last year. He only made 2.5. He had 25 goals last year, and he played unbelievable in the cup run. A lot of people think he will stay with Colorado. But those are two very interesting guys to me.
I agree. I am definitely interested. Let's talk. That's where I would be. If I were the Predators, I'd say, let's get in the room, shut the door, let's talk about these guys. I'm okay. Seriously interested. I'm with you. I think you throw Trocheck out. I would be willing to also throw Niederreiter into the discussion, although I don't love his price tag. I would love for him to be more in the fours. Realistically, that's where my comfort zone would be, low fours to mid fours. I don't love him in the mid fives.
Okay.
Personally.
How about Andrew Kopp, who the Rangers traded a lot to get at the deadline? They probably overpaid. He had a career year, 21 goals last year. 28 years old, made 3.6.
Actually, today is his birthday.
Interesting. So what is he, 28?
28.
Okay.
28. Today's his birthday.
You like the idea there, or do you think, ooh,
more
maybe,
of a centerman,
kind of a one-year
right?
one-year wonder? He's a center.
Centerman, yep.
Is he a second line, though? A lot of people think he was a third liner that played like a second liner last year, but in reality, is he a second
guy.
Liner?
No, he's a third line guy. He's third line.
And I'm really curious about what the market looks like for these guys, that second tier of free agents. Like, if you put Philip Forsberg, Johnny Gaudreau as serious A-grade free agents who may or may not be out there, we think, at the end of the day, Philip Forsberg certainly would not be out there, we hope, then these are your second-tier guys. This is what's left over of the guys that could hit the market. How much money do people have to float around for guys like that? It's a really good question. Okay, let me give you a little more bargain bin. Let me give you a little TJ Maxx. Frank Vatrano, New York Rangers. Is he possibly a second-liner who's undervalued? Or do you say, I don't know? It's a reach. He was 2.5 last year, played very well.
Did we officially throw Kopp out, by the way? We threw him out.
I'm throwing Kopp out.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm not down.
He's more, honestly, his numbers warrant kind of Luke Cunning production. That's the way I see him.
Although he's coming off a good year.
He's a third line guy.
He's coming off a very good year. Cunnin is not, right? So Cunnin's stock is way down. So this is, again, you're trying to find the right guy at the right price. These are all really interesting questions. Ricard Raquel?
Vetrano, I'm out.
Vetrano out. Ricard Raquel?
He's not a second round, second line guy, just not a second line guy. Raquel, how old is Raquel?
29. 20 goals last year in 70 games. He has been playing forever, but he's only 29. 3.7 last year.
I liked him more. I liked the Anaheim Raquel.
Injuries?
Earlier, then towards the end of Anaheim, I started going south, and then, you know, what did he play? Half of a season with Pittsburgh? He was okay.
Yep. Last one, Ryan Strom, Rangers, 4.5 last year, 29 years old, 21 goals, 33 assists last year.
Yep.
Center.
Let's talk about it.
Okay.
Let's talk about it.
So that's a little working list right there.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. We'll come back, get you the best shots of the week. Max says it's really good, and wrap up Friday's edition of the DDC. We do that next. All right, Dave. Thank you. We're rounding third, and we're headed home. We're coming in hot. It's been a fun show this week. Had a lot to talk about. Let's go on and get in our best shots of the week. Tom in Nashville's got a really good question for you, Villy, on the text line. He wants to know, what is your plan for America?
For America.
Oh, man.
Well, we're going to start with the hats, the July 4th hats for Major League Baseball. That's part of the plan. Get rid of those things.
Mr. Donick, I'm literally holding it in my hand, a Yoo-Hoo chocolate drink. It is a staple of life's existence. I can't remember a day when I didn't have one for like 40 years.
Okay, but you have ties to the North, right? It was invented in the North.
I was born and raised here. I was born at Baptist Hospital, baby, right down at St. Thomas Midtown now.
Okay, so the ties to the Steelers are generational then, I guess.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
But it was invented in New Jersey, I think, somewhere in, I don't know.
It was a grocer up there. They wanted to be able to keep it for long periods of time, not refrigerated. So its ingredients are water, high fructose corn syrup, cocoa, and whey.
And
like
what?
Eating her curds and whey.
Curds and whey.
Curds and whey. Whey. It's a byproduct of grain. And you know you're shopping, and you've got the dairy section on the walls. They're like open, refrigerated. And then there's those big chest-type coolers. Well, my Walmart has a section about 4 feet long, 2.5 feet tall, and 4 foot deep. And it is filled with Yoo-Hoo, and it never runs out. They fill it up every hour. $1.07 a piece. But here's the thing. You've got to get a glass bottle. It has to be glass with a yellow top. It's pop. And I can't remember ever having one where I picked the bottle up more than twice. It's usually just a chug-a-lug, just like a shoe.
Yeah, it goes fast.
It's so delicious. You can't put it down. They're yummy. Send your butler over to Walmart, Meese Nashville, and grab you a couple of dozen, and have Darren try one. I highly recommend it, Mr. Clark.
All right, that's really what we're going to do. We're going to have Darren try it.
Have your butler. Thank you, Barrett, as always. Jeff in Kingston Springs on our text line wants to know, Willie, why do you hate America? He said, dial it back a little. I knew when you went there, man, you're going to get crushed.
Well, all that has been fixed, so appreciate the hard work behind the scenes of people getting us back sounding normal. I guess we were sounding a little crazy earlier in the show, Willie. Sound like Chipmunks or the album, you know, that went really, really fast. And so all that has been fixed. Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders is on the line.
Hey.
With us.
Hey, Alvin.
Hey.
In a chipmunk.
Hey. Oh, you know some chipmunk names. Okay.
Yeah, Alvin, man, I actually watched them when my kids were young. Yeah. I actually watched a movie, and that movie was whacked. I'm just letting you know, it was whacked.
Yeah, don't pretend like it was because of the kids. You like the chipmunks. Come on.
Absolutely. I did kind of like it, but it was whacked. How y'all doing, man? It's good. How was y'all's fourth?
Well, when you used to sing with us on the air, you kind of sounded like Alvin the Chipmunks.
Yeah, I sound like Billy Ocean or Lou Rawls. No, you can't put me with the Chipmunks, man. Come on. You give me Billy Ocean. You'll never find. Come on, man.
Stop it, Chris. They're going to give you the opportunity at the Nashville Super Speedway to do three laps around the track with your car. In your own car.
Rev it up.
You're listening to the DDC.
Presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling.
On ESPN 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. And on the Game Nashville app.
What is going on?
No. I just want to say for the record that...
What is happening?
I was doing my job very well during the break and not only moving commercials around, but also helping Darren with something. So I was forced to use a song from whatever hotkeys that Michelle left open. And this one is like half Muppets.
I was going to say, this sounds like a walk-up song for one of my 10-year-olds. I mean, what's happening?
This is one of our favorite, in the Donick House, this was one of our favorite skits from the Muppet Show. It was awesome. We used to, of course, this song gets stuck in your head. Thanks a lot, Max. That'll be in my head the rest of the day.
My pleasure.
But, you know, it was funny. I was watching the MLB Network the other day, just watching their little recap in the morning, and they had a morning question going on Twitter. Who is the GOAT of the Muppets? Who is the greatest Muppet of all time?
Ooh.
Is it Kermit? Is it... You know, do you count the Sesame Street guys, which, you know, in which case you could go with Elmo in there, who was not, you know, in the Muppet movie. He came along a little bit later. But, you know, you got the Cookie Monster in there. You know, so if you go Muppet / Sesame Street, who's the GOAT? Would you go Kermit? Or would you go Fozzie Bear? Gonzo? Animal?
You gonna leave out Miss Piggy?
Miss Piggy has absolutely got a ton of votes on the MLB survey. She was getting a lot of votes. A lot of votes. I think I'd have to go with Kermit as the GOAT. I mean, he just encompasses all. He's the leader. And then somebody tweeted at the group.
He's the face of the franchise?
He's the face of the franchise, but somebody did have a funny tweet that made me laugh out loud. And he said, "You guys are seriously underestimating the Swedish chef." So that is what they wrote in there. So that's a pretty good commitment. But I'm not sure Notre Dame is married to them, right? Notre Dame is like, hey, the ACC is my girlfriend. We play them 5 times or whatever. Our other teams are in there, but we're not married to them. So what happens next with them? I think all eyes are on them. Got to be.
I personally think they're in the friend zone. Chase, if you're listening, your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with the friend zone.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's hilarious.
What? Like, you know this. You know, I hear friend zone. It's like, oh, they need me now? They need an expert? The friend zone insider? Or as Jeremy Gover once said, he likes to sit in the Bud Light friend zone.
That was beautiful radio right there. I had no clue you were back. Are you back there with Max?
Yeah, well, here's what's funny about all of this. I'm standing here talking to Max. I'm writing a text to you about something completely different, and then I hear my name, and I'm like, all right, well, I guess I better just grab a mic.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought you were on vacation. I thought that was a sound drop. I'm very familiar with the friend zone. I thought that was a sound drop.
It is now.
That's okay. A hot key. Well done, Max. Oh, some good memories. Boy, you probably could have gone longer. It's been a fun show this week. So on the way out, hope everybody has, by the way, a great weekend. On the way out, I told you at the beginning of the show, my odds, believe it or not, just sleeping on it, no new news, went up of Philip Forsberg re-signing to now 90.09%. That is what I've locked in. And I said I expect a deal to be struck before we hit the airwaves on Monday. Do you agree that that is going to happen?
What day is Monday?
Monday is
the date is July
11. July 11.
By Monday? You got to give me till Tuesday.
What?
It may go to the last minute, man. It might. Might go to the last day. To me, if you're setting a deadline,
so you
it's
think
the 12th.
It's going to go till okay, so you really
yeah. I feel very good about the end result, but I think we were saying this a long time ago. We had a show at First Horizon Park, Darren, and you and I were, first of all, we were making sure that once July 13th hit, you can't still offer eight, and that's true. And so I think that day we started the discussion. It may go down to the last minute. Like, you don't panic if it goes well into July. Well, here we are. We're getting well into July. So if it's gone this far, I think it might go all the way to the last day. But I still think at the end of the day, Forsberg will stay with the Predators.
Is this your Iowa trip kind of bleeding over into your answer, go the distance?
It's going to go the distance.
That's what's happening, right?
Yeah. So you like this weekend, though. You feel
I
like
do.
the
I think before we hit the airwaves, I think the crack staff of the Predators, you know, they're like a good journalist. You know, guys like Joe Rexroad and others who write for a living or have written for a living for a long time. Like, they, you know, Teresa Walker, right? You get the trick. You write the story. It's already written.
Okay.
Before
it's
the
ready
game
to go.
So yeah. They've got it ready. They just have to fill out, you know, they've got
fill in the final numbers.
Yeah, there's blanks for the numbers.
Okay.
Yeah. And so they've written the story. They've got the press release ready to get out there. They just need to fill in a couple of, you know, spots in the story that they need to get some terms in there. That's it. That's what I believe is gone. Right. I think that's what it looks like.
It would be nice.
Scenes.
It would be nice because then you have a day or two to really do all your tabulations and figure out what do we have to go after people on July 13th to add to the roster.
Yeah. I think at this point there's been too much evidence, too much we've seen to think that they're not going to get this done. They all the moves that they've made and things that we're hearing, I can't imagine it's without the, you know, Philip Forsberg in the equation, so... Yeah, it's going to get done before we get on. So we'll have something to talk about right out of the gates.
All right.
Monday at 10 o'clock.
And then free agency. Woo, it's going to be something.
Max, you did a really good job this week. You want to come back next week? It's not my call, but I'm just asking.
How much?
That's a suit call. You'll need to talk
one
to the suit.
One Yoo-Hoo.
I'm in.
Only one Yoo-Hoo. Wow.
Case
but
of
it
Yoo-Hoo.
Has to be
I thought
in
he did better than that.
A glass bottle or whatever Barrett said.
Okay, that's right. It needs to be in the glass. Okay, one glass bottle of Yoo-Hoo. Do we have a deal?
I think so.
All right. See, look, we just struck a deal on the
show.
Let
me consult with my agent first.
Okay. Everybody have a great weekend. Continue to be safe. Try to stay cool. We look forward to talking to you Monday morning at 10 o'clock. We'll see you then.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.